Well, good morning, church family. We're back. You made it. So if you're visiting with us this morning, this is not going to look like a typical Sunday morning. There won't be a sermon this morning, but we are praying big time that your heart will be blessed and will be encouraged, and that the Spirit of God will speak through our team this morning to encourage you to continue on in mission with Jesus Christ, as we are kind of taking this service this morning to basically just report and share all the highlights that was our experience in... Are you okay? All right. And I want to just say, too, that if you've kind of joined our church within the last year, the last couple months, maybe this is your first time here, this is an exciting time in the history of this local church, and I think an amazing time to be a part of what God is doing here. Next week will be awesome because we say goodbye to Pastor Don, so that'll be an exciting Sunday for us. We're moving in the right direction. I'm just kidding. There's going to be a lot of tears shed next week, as it's been a blessing to have Don and Don with us, and God brought them to us at just the time that we needed them. Would you agree, church family? It's been a joy to serve alongside him and their family and the life of our church. And then, you know, the following Sunday, Pastor Tim and his family will be with us. And so just to be able to pray and vision and see what is the future of our church is pretty exciting stuff. And to think that you can be a part of what God is doing here, and not only here, but also across the world. And we really pray that you will be encouraged this morning in your own walk with God. And that maybe God would put it in your heart to go to the nations, to live out the gospel right in your own spheres of influence, in your family, at your work, whatever you're doing. I pray that the stories would be encouraging to you this morning. And really what I hope to accomplish is, okay, when we kind of finish a week, that is the mission trip, we sit down together and we kind of debrief. And we just talk about the week that was. And we talk about, okay, hey, what did God teach you this week? What did you learn? How did you grow? How were you stretched? What did you learn about God specifically, about his timing, about his grace? What fears did you overcome? What were the spiritual highlights? What did you see God do? And we have these amazing moments and times together to just kind of share and debrief. We did it with our missions committee on Wednesday night as well and shared the story. So I kind of hope to just, we're going to have a conversation up here, and we're going to pretend that you're not here, but we're going to let you overhear this conversation and hope that you are encouraged by it. Does that sound good? Why is everybody so quiet? This is really weird. Okay. I'm gonna kind of just walk through our trip day by day, and kind of take you through the experience together, and hopefully the stories will come out from that. So Thursday morning we left. We had an awesome time of prayer together with the family members, and then we drove to Toronto. We got on a plane. We flew. I don't know. We were up at like 6 a.m. that morning. By the time we got into Bogota, I don't know what time it was. But then we got held up at the border. Or not at the border, but at customs, and we had to exchange money. And by the time we got to our hotel room, it was 1 a.m., and then we had to be back up at 4 a.m. So we got 3 hours of sleep, and Evan and Caleb were snoring in my room all night, so it wasn't really sleep. And then we're back at the airport for, what, 4:30, I think, and on a plane, and so then all of a sudden we're there. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. We're in Medellin, and we're in Colombia, and we're kind of just a little bit off schedule, a little bit. But I want you guys just tell me like your first impressions. Not so much the airport, but we got in the vans, we got in the buses, we were driving to, we basically drove from there straight to the retreat center. So we didn't go to the city right away. Medellin is a massive city, beautiful, in the valley, about 4 million people, very urban. But we began our trip kind of at a youth retreat, which was outside of the city, very similar to us going up to the cottage, going up north, going up to camp. And that's kind of where we spent our time. So just give me your initial thoughts of Colombia. You've never been there before. What was going through your mind?
I was in a vehicle with Sarah, Caleb, and Kelsey, and we were just, like, amazed, like, driving, like, through the mountains to the camp. It's such a beautiful country, and we were just, like, taking pictures and, like, just looking in awe at God's, like, beauty that he created, and, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, as soon as we got there, we were greeted by our translator for the week, Efrain, and another girl that was running the camp, and they were all so welcoming. Like, we didn't know what it was going to be like, but as soon as we got there, we were like given hugs, and we went out for breakfast with them. And when we were traveling, we were just kind of trying to communicate to each other like what was going on, and yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, we had our first Colombian meal together. That was pretty That's pretty. It's interesting, the food, right? The food is very different. Tell me about the food. Tell me how different the food is.
One of the most common things we had was an arepa, and we had it with pretty much every meal. And it was like this flatbread, and it was made out of, it was kind of like cornbread kind of circular thing, and it had no taste whatsoever. And we had that with like every single meal we ate.
Yeah, we had a lot of pork. All the food was very good. There was a lot of it. They would load our plates up, so we had to learn how to say only a little in Spanish. So,
poquito, yeah.
Yeah, solo un poquito.
I found that our eating schedules were a little different. They eat a really late dinner. We were often eating at 9:30 at night. But yeah, there were some interesting choices. I think my least favorite, if I should say that, was the pig's hoof soup.
Yeah.
The cow tongue.
There's some tongue in there, yeah.
Yeah, there was literally a girl across from me, and she was gnawing on that knuckle. At that point, I was done, so.
I think my least favorite was the cow tongue soup. We had that at the retreat, and I got the actual cow tongue in my soup. Yeah, that kind of turned me off. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought it was just like a chunk of meat, and I kind of took it out, put it on my plate. I was eating the soup, and then everyone around me is like, "Do you know what that is?" I'm like, "No." And they're like, "It's like a cow tongue soup." And then I realized what I had taken out was the actual like tongue of the cow.
Now keep in mind, that wasn't every meal, just so you know, okay? That was like...
It only happened once.
Yeah. That was like at the retreat. They were trying to show us like a classic Colombian paisa meal, right? So it had like this chicharron, which is like pig intestine and some other, yeah, a lot of heavy, heavy stuff, yeah. Would somebody want to...
But it was big portions too. Like we would just get over the feeling of being full, and then there's the next meal. So it was hard to, I didn't want to say no because I didn't want to be rude, but it was hard to just keep eating and eating and eating.
Nathan was a true missionary. Like he was trying. He's like, "No, I'm going to eat every single piece of food." And he had the record going about how many days, like 4 or 5 days, I think, until...
I think it was near the end that I couldn't do that anymore. He
just no more intestines.
I had the same experience. I was trying to eat everything, and then we had like dinner at like 11:30, and then we had breakfast at 6, and I just couldn't finish the whole breakfast. I was not hungry enough yet.
Yeah.
But pretty much the food was really good. Yeah.
It was like their attitude though too, right? Like they were wanting to take care of us and give us a nice big meal all the time. But like they would have like rice and a potato together. You know what I mean? Like where we'd probably separate that with like a bread and a cheese. A lot of starch. And then like over here just a little salad. And we're in Colombia. We want fresh fruit and veggies, but yeah, it was pretty awesome.
The fruit was amazing though. Every morning pretty much we had fresh fruit, and that was my favorite part, I think, of the food, just getting that. And all the different types of fruit. We had, I think, tree tomato and tangerine lemon were two of the new fruits that I tasted this week, and it was really good.
Yeah.
And even at the retreat, the chef was walking out into the garden. He would grab all the vegetables for the meal and prepare it right there. So it was all very, very fresh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
As along with the fruits, they always made us like homemade fruit juice and like veggie juice, and it was really good.
Yeah, like real juice, not like sugar and water.
Sugar
and, yeah. Yeah, it was real juice. Tell me, Amy, while you got the microphone there, why don't you tell us about the driving in Medellin?
Yeah, it was scary. Public transit, there wasn't enough seats on the bus, so I had to stand, and I'm not quite tall enough to reach the handles, so it was an adventure, that's for sure.
Bus surfing, we called it. Yeah, your feet came off the ground a few times. A few yells, a few screams from Amy, but she survived.
They were really good drivers, but the driving in general is just crazy down there. Like, in the city, there'd be like 3 lanes for cars all going the same way. And the lines for them are just kind of guidelines. They don't really follow them. So it just kind of be like a big clump of cars moving in the same direction. And people turning left would be like in the middle and just honk their horn and cut in front of other cars. And yeah.
Yeah, the motorcycles there were crazy. There'd be like, that's what people mostly rode. Like in our host family, they parked their motorcycle in the kitchen.
Save space.
But yeah, they just swerve like between cars. So like when we'd be taking a taxi, you'd have to watch out before you got out of the car to make sure you didn't get like hit by a motorcycle.
And the red lights don't apply to bikes either in Colombia.
No, apparently not.
And when
you don't have to wear seatbelts in the back seat either, which I'm all for that rule. I like that. Anything else about the driving? It was pretty wild. It was like there's no straight roads in Colombia anywhere. So if you live, you know, it's pretty flat here and you can just go this way and that way. But everything is windy, everything is up and down.
And when we were coming back from the retreat, we were coming down the mountain and like their road, it's shared like two cars, like one going one way, one going the other way. But we were coming down in a car and there was a huge bus coming up and we didn't know how we were going to round that corner. There was like an inch of space between both cars and I don't know how we made it past each other. I was surprised.
And from the bus's perspective, when we were coming back from the retreat down the mountain, we're in this huge bus and it's filled with a bunch of kids. And Bree and I, there wasn't enough seats in the back, so we actually had to sit right in the front, like next to the bus driver. And we're going down this mountainside and the road is barely big enough for the bus itself. And when we went around the corners, like, you couldn't see, so they would just start honking their horn and hoping that the person, if there was someone else there, would just move out of the way.
The views were amazing, though. Like, when we were going down the mountain, you could see over the city, and it was pretty crazy to see, because I think there's 4 to 5 million people in the city, so it's a pretty big city. And especially at night when you can see all the lights, I thought it was pretty cool just driving down the mountain.
Yeah, like to put in perspective, like the retreat that we went, it was on top of a huge mountain. So like you see the photo in the back, like the tallest mountain up there, that's basically where we were. And then we had to drive all the way down to the middle of the city so that we could go to our host family's homes. So that's how far we had to drive.
Yeah, so let's talk about the retreat. So we basically arrived Friday. Our team headed straight to the retreat. And we kind of met the Colombians for the first time, and we're kind of talking about the schedule and the weekend that was. So the retreat was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The meat of it was all on Saturday. We did like 3 sessions on Saturday. We did the drama Saturday night. So tell me, what were some of the spiritual highlights from the retreat weekend? There was about 40 students, right? No, 49 students, and then probably had at least 10 leaders, youth leaders, along with our team. So it was pretty awesome. But the theme for the week was taught on identity, and we took the story of Mephibosheth in the book of Samuel, and we kind of talked about how our identity is in Jesus Christ. And so we had some really amazing times in worship and in the Word. But tell me, what were some of the spiritual highlights from the retreat?
I found that at the beginning of the retreat, when I first met with our small group, because us leaders were paired with a Colombian for small groups, and most of these kids didn't speak English, so our group was fortunate, and we had 2 girls who spoke a bit of English, so they were able to translate. And so when they were translating, each girl saying why they came, one of the girls said she just came to get out of her house because she didn't get along with her family. And so it was really cool to see her through the week learn and grow and be able to share. And I didn't always understand what she was saying, but I could tell that she was really connecting with her leader. And I was really impacted by the small groups and just getting to participate in another language, doing devotions and just learning about God and getting to share my perspective and hearing their perspective as well.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Amen.
We presented the drama on Saturday night, and not many of the teens there like knew English, so we weren't sure how well they would understand the drama, but using the orange as Sally's heart, they really like it. I noticed that the drama really impacted them, and many of them understood it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I was I was really scared to see how they would react, because I just like just getting to know them, most of them didn't really speak any Spanish. So, yeah, I was talking to some of the people on our team, and I was like, yeah, this might not go well, but it actually went really well. And Aaron came up to me after and said that the kids kind of knew what was going on, which is really good, and I praise God for that. But yeah, that was really good.
In the play, when they had, when Satan, or I mean, sorry, when they replaced Sally's heart with a new heart, all of the kids were really surprised at how the broken heart was made new again. So you could really tell that they were watching. They really wanted to understand the play, even if they didn't understand what they were saying. So that was really cool. So they were really amazed, and they were like, "Oh, what just happened?"
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's kind of one of those moments we had to trust God in it, that He would take what we had prepared. We were kind of limited in what we could do with the language barrier, but we trusted that God would work through it, and He certainly did.
Yeah, on the first weekend of retreat there, three of the students had a chance to share their testimonies, and that was really powerful for me, and I think for everybody else. We had a translator with us the whole time, so that if you've ever shared your testimony, your story publicly, it can be kind of scary. But we had an interpreter, so basically, which was a huge blessing for I think all of us, because it caused us to slow down a little bit when we're talking. Mm-hmm. So the three girls that gave their testimony on, I believe it was on Saturday, did an awesome job. They were able to speak in short sentences and pause and take a break and think about what they're going to say and be intentional with that. So I think that was a huge blessing, and definitely a moment where we were stretched as a team.
Yeah, the interpretation was difficult, but it was also a blessing in disguise. I think it forces you to cut out all the fluff. You know, when you're talking and you have a lot of like ums and ahs and just you say a bunch of stuff that doesn't really need to be in there. But when you know, like, okay, I just got to get straight to the point and share this, I think it actually really helped our team share their testimony. So that was Bree and Lauren and Sarah and Morgan on the Sunday who shared their testimonies. Why don't you share about that, Sarah?
So the thing that I was most nervous about was having a translator, because I had never had one before, and it was just, I didn't know how to talk and when to pause and all that. But when I was done, I was really happy that I had a translator, because it gave me the time to stop and think about what I was going to say and how I was going to say it, and just to say it in the clearest way possible and in the way that I guess made the most sense and could just made the most sense, I guess.
Church family, you would have been so proud of Sarah when she shared her story, man. If you know her story and the way that she said it, us knowing Sarah, it was, I mean, all the girls nailed it, but the room changed. When she started speaking, you just feel people zoning in and listening to her, because they were connecting with the struggle that she's gone through and how she's learned to lean on the Lord. It was amazing. And then Morgan piggybacked on that and just shared some of her struggles in high school and relationships and those types of things. And you could just tell that the teenagers were like, whoa. And as we came back from the retreat, I was kind of just talking with the youth leaders and some parents, and they said that was, even for the adults, those testimonies were the thing that impacted them the most over that weekend. It was pretty amazing. What else? Any other highlights from the retreat?
One of my highlights was Saturday night. We had this big campfire outside with all the kids. And one of the guys that led worship there just kind of pulled out his guitar and started singing. And everybody just kind of gathered around, and we started just worshiping the Lord. And it was really nice, because sometimes like when we were in the lessons, we would do like two worship songs, and like right when we were getting into it and actually starting to worship, it'd be over and we'd move on to the next thing. But this was just like a continuous worship, and you could see we were getting really into it, the kids were getting really into it. And it was also just a really good time. We taught them some English worship songs. They taught us some Spanish songs, and it was just a really nice time for worship.
Yeah. I found that worshiping between languages was really impactful as well, because it was just a reminder that we all serve the same God, no matter who we are or what our differences may be. And so that was really awesome, because We all got to worship, and that was amazing. Like, mm-hmm. just pour our hearts out and be thankful for getting to go on that experience. And it wasn't about, like, the Canadians are over here and the Colombians are here, but we just got to kind of both do one thing together.
Yeah, and it wasn't a forced thing. That was just it's what everybody wanted to do. It was pretty cool. Go ahead, Brie.
Oh, I'm kind of piggybacking on that. Just kind of when we were, like, interacting throughout the week, it was kind of hard because of the language barrier, but then at the campfire, it was just kind of cool to see that, like, worshiping, it was, like, kind of, like, not one language, but, like, we all could just come together as like Christians and just worship God without having the like struggle of like translating, and we were just able to just like praise his name and all that he does for us.
Now Brie had the retreat. Pam, Brie, and Morgan led games, right? So they were leading games, and you might have seen a video on Instagram of them leading some field games. But Brie, man, she just stepped up and like owned it. Like if you're gonna try to lead a game with 60 people, you gotta command some presence, you know what I mean? You can't just be like weak and, okay, everybody, come on over here. And Brie was just like, she was on it, man, and she had everybody organized. She had this game rocking. Well, then later when she shared her testimony, it was hilarious. Anybody want to jump in on this story?
Yeah, so when we were saying our age, Brianna goes, yeah, I'm 15. And everyone in the audience goes, oh, what? Because everyone, like the way she was talking, she sounded like everyone thought she was 19.
It was amazing. There was like an audible gasp. Everyone was like, what? And Brie was like, what did I say? What did I do? She was all nervous, but she didn't realize. Everyone was like, they couldn't believe she was 15. They thought she was at least 19.
I asked the translator. I turned to him and I said, did you translate that wrong? 15. 1-5. And he's like, no, don't. Just keep going. They're just shocked.
Oh, man. The team, too, during that weekend, we've been trying to tell the kids to don't just be there, but impact. You know what I mean? There's a difference between sometimes you're just there and you're present and you're in this group or you're in a conversation, but you need to impact the group, impact the teens. And you should have seen them over that whole weekend just being intentional. I saw Lauren, every meal, Lauren tried to sit beside somebody different. She was intentional about that. I'm going to sit beside somebody and be a friend and talk with them. And you saw the teens like going out and they were engaging in conversation and they were engaging people. And so that was a huge highlight for me. Over the weekend. Also, Sophia. Tell me about Sophia. Morgan and Lauren had Sophia in their house, but she was really impacted by the retreat.
Yeah, so I met Sophia Friday night. We were in the same room together, and I was asking what her name was, and she asked what mine was, and she's like, oh, like, you're staying at my house. And then, we got to, like, know each other throughout the retreat, and, like, I was just continually, like, praying that, like, God would work in her heart, because I did notice, like, she was on her phone a lot, and, like, she seemed kind of distant at our sessions, and I was just, like, continually praying that God would, like, open her heart and mind to, like, what Aaron was preaching, and that she would, accept, like, what Aaron was saying and really, like, think about it. And I was talking to Aaron, like, afterwards, and she, like, was talking to him about each session, like, what did...
Yeah, and she was in tears at the end of the retreat, and just how much the Word of God had impacted her and what she was struggling with, and father issues and identity issues, and it's just one of those awakening moments. You know, sometimes it seems like the kid's not getting it at all. They're on their phone, or they're distracted. Maybe they didn't listen to anything, but when you get those rare moments when they reveal, like, no, man, God was really speaking to me, it was pretty impactful. So I know sometimes it was hard for the team to, like, felt like we did all this work, but maybe you didn't see any immediate results. And was God actually moving? Was God actually working? And when you hear little conversations like that, you realize, yeah, he was in every heart in a mighty way. So did you want to share something, Pam? I feel like you had something on your mind.
I was just going to share that at the retreat, I found it a little overwhelming, the language barrier. And it just, at first in the Saturday afternoon, I wanted to just go lay down in my bed and get away from it all because it just seemed impossible. And then I just kind of prayed, and that verse came to mind, with God nothing's impossible. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna go back out, I'm gonna try again. And as the retreat went on, especially after the skit, and then after the campfire on Saturday night, and then hearing the girls' testimony, I could just see how God's timing is perfect, and how the language wasn't a barrier to him, and he was still getting through. And just to see how the girls were so courageous and able to share their testimony was so encouraging to me, and I realized that God is the same everywhere. And one of the youth leaders there prayed on Sunday and said, God has no culture. And I, when he was praying that, that's what hit me the most about the retreat, was I was realizing that we are here and we're worshiping the same God, and it doesn't matter whether it's in English or Spanish. And eventually I started to feel more comfortable as the week went on, and then I embraced it. And by the middle of the week, I was able to speak a little Spanish, and I was able to relate to people better, and I credit that to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, does anybody else want to share about the language barrier? I think we as a team kind of agreed that was probably the biggest hurdle of the barrier during the week, because, you know, we want to be sharing the gospel and go in relationship, and it found it difficult, so.
One tool that we had for the language barrier was our phones, and Google Translate isn't the most reliable, especially when you're in school and trying to translate stuff like that. But it was really helpful on this trip just to help us kind of communicate, even just to have like a little conversation about just letting, getting the teens to talk to us and tell them or tell us about themselves. So that was just like a really nice thing to have, because there were a few translators during the youth retreat, but then throughout the week, we had one interpreter. Her name was Deborah. She was awesome, by the way. And she couldn't be with us 24/7. So it was just really nice to have that little tool with us so we could communicate on our own.
Yeah, big thing that I used while I was down, so a lot of them didn't speak English. I used hand actions, so like when I was trying to say how old I was, I would show it on my fingers, or when I'd say Canada is very cold, I'd So it kind of helped me throughout the week because I didn't have Google Translate on my phone. I forgot to download it.
Caleb went all in though, man. Like, he wasn't afraid. Sometimes you're afraid to say because you're all going to say something goofy. Caleb didn't care. He just tried and got a lot of laughs, and it was great. Him and Evan, yeah. Man, they deep dove.
And our host family, we were trying to learn a lot. We kept asking what stuff was. I imagine it probably got annoying, but they were very, very graceful with us, especially when we swore, because sometimes we messed words up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a couple awkward situations where one of their boys understood English that we were living with really well. So at least that was good, because he could explain what we had been trying to say to his parents. So they weren't just like,
don't say that ever again. Yeah.
And I even found another good way was, a lot of them use Instagram a lot, so I found one good way was to message them on Instagram. Because when we were there and translating with them, it takes time to use Google Translate, and we would soon have to go on to the next thing, and I just felt like I wasn't really getting across what I wanted to say for sake of time. So then messaging them, like a couple of the guys I'm still talking to, and it's just awesome because you don't have that time barrier, and we can just talk and get deeper and share what we believe, and I found that a really good way to communicate too.
Yeah, pronunciation is a big thing down there. So it turns out if you pronounce a word wrong, you could be swearing. So I accidentally swore 3 times at family dinner in Spanish. And they let me know that they were swear words. So, yeah.
He confessed his sins, so we are all good.
Yeah, so we stayed with one of the pastors. Me and Amy stayed with Efrain. His wife she does a whole bunch of sign language. Like, she majored in that. So during the week, we ended up getting to see her like translate to the deaf, and it was really cool. So both of them didn't really know English. So when we're trying to talk to them, it was funny because their daughters knew like what we were saying. So every time their parents would get something wrong, they would laugh at them. So yeah.
Yeah, it was great. There'd be times where we'd have, I'd be going from English to Spanish to sign language. We had like three different translations going. So tell me about Deborah.